The head of Iran's nuclear programs promised today to increase cooperation with international inspectors. This past week, the International Atomic Energy Agency scolded the Tehran government for failing to report nuclear material and said it wanted to make more intrusive inspections in Iran. Rasul Nafisi is a Middle East analyst in Washington who's in regular contact with both reformers and hardliners in Iran. He suspects the Iranian government won't give in so easily to international pressure.
I don't see much effect, frankly, because Iranians have not been known to follow the international law or to follow basically anything internationally based. Look, for 8 years they were at war with Iraq, and during those 8 years they could acquire weapons from 41 countries, although, you know, there are sanctions against Iran and all that. The major thing is those who help Iran are Russia, China, and North Korea. Those are the main players in introducing any kind of technology or development of technology in Iran. And unless they give in and they stop doing that, I don't think there's going to be any effective ways to stop the development of nuclear technology in Iran.
How is the situation in Iran affected by the fact that there are U.S. troops in Afghanistan on one side and U.S. troops in Iraq on the other? Does that change the equation at all?
Well, it has changed the equation in terms of national encouragement to, you know, protest and all that. But in the case of a nuclear weaponry, I would imagine that Iranian hardliners now are more intransigent than before because they feel threatened and they know that the United States would not attack a country with nuclear weapons. So probably they are more into developing nuclear technology now than ever before.
Let's talk a little bit about the student protests that we've been hearing about this past week. There are Iranian television and radio stations in Los Angeles that have been broadcasting messages to the Iranian people telling them to join the protests. How influential are those satellite broadcasts?
Those are helpful, but those are not the main force behind the activities, because the reality is the students are pretty frustrated by the fact that reformist movement in the country has ended. And also they have a lot of social frustration. Unfortunately, the broadcasting from Los Angeles is absolutely, you know, emotion-based and is stirring emotion in the country. And therefore, it is not conducive to producing a movement, because a movement needs organization, needs charismatic leadership, needs a lot of patience, planning, a strategy. None of those are available right now. So by just bringing people into the streets, you're not going to be able to produce much.
What's the future going to be like? Are the protests going to grow, or is this just a brief upheaval that's going to subside soon?
If you look at the history of the Islamic Republic in the last 23, 4 years, you find that it's been a crisis-prone system. We have frequent demonstrations, and the system has been able to survive those. And this particular demonstration, of course they are afraid of it. But what I'm trying to say is, I think the reformist wing, which is a large part of the country, a large part of the government, by the way, is quite comfortable with this, while the hardliners, fearing for their own interest, are afraid of this because they have to give in. But it doesn't mean regime change. It means more concession to the reformists.
Rasul Nafisi is a Middle East analyst and professor at Strayer University in Washington.